Let us pray. Holy God, we thank you for your word that we've just heard. And it's one of those that we listen to and we think, what happened? It seems strange to us. And yet it is your word. Help us to hear the truth that you have for us in it. This we pray in your Son's name. Amen. Today I want to talk to Chris, George, and Garrett. However, I give you all permission to eavesdrop, to listen in. Guys, we began the journey last January. And it was a difficult journey, if for no other reason than trying to get classes scheduled around soccer, baseball, and fencing schedules, and scouting trips and vacations. But you, and I'm going to say we, made it. In a way, though, I think our journey has been a metaphor for what I want to talk about today. In our Philippians passage, Paul is sharing what he sees as a real conundrum. He writes, "I'm hard-pressed between the two. My desire is to depart and be with Christ, for that is far better. But to remain in the flesh is more necessary for you. Since I am convinced of this, I know that I will remain and continue with all of you for your progress and joy in faith." Now, I am not suggesting to you that as you join the church, you have the choice of dying or living. That's not what this is about. But what Paul's letter or his words convey is a real dilemma for every Christian. A dilemma that I don't think a lot of people fully understand. Are we in the world, or are we of the world? Now, just changing that one little word, in and of, but it makes a big difference to how we understand that question. To be in or to be of the world means that we buy into the ways of the world. We do things the way people in the world do things. To be in the world means that we live our lives, but we do so with a different mindset than maybe a lot of other people in the world do. And I think you begin to see now where I'm going with this. Think about it in terms of your sports. The world says winning is everything. I remember the old saying, winning is not everything, but it's way ahead of whatever in second place. The goal of sports is to be number one, to come out on the top, to be undefeated. However, you think that's how Jesus or God would see things? To be a Christian in the world of sports probably would mean not only to play a clean game, but also to do your best and try to be a little better yourself each time and help your teammates be the best that they can be. But at the same time, you get excited or you congratulate others when they do well, whether they be on your team or on the opposing team. When Paul wrote our Philippians passage, he was in prison. And it was a real possibility that he might die. But he saw that as wonderful because then he could go on and be with God. But even though it would be hard to stay in the world because of the pain that he experienced, he could experience in his life and in the lives of others, he saw he could make a difference as a result that might be for him, as difficult as that might be for him, if he had to stay in prison or if he got free. The question becomes, who do you live your life for? The world says, live your life for yourself. Paul and Jesus said, live your life for others. And that's what we talked about when we had that class session about your life being different because of your faith. What you profess today has to say not just to you, but to others. That because you believe that Jesus Christ is your Lord and Savior, you will live in the world as Jesus wants you to live. Otherwise, what you say today, what you profess today, has no meaning. Just as Paul felt like his life was best lived in helping others, we too must follow the same path. In the early 1900s, there was a gentleman by the name of William Temple, and he became the Archbishop of Canterbury, which is the top position, or the top bishop, kind of like the Pope, of the Anglican Church, or the Episcopal Church. And while he was in that position, he made a provocative statement that I've always loved. The church is the only cooperative society in the world that exists for the benefit of its non-members. Let me say that again. The church is the only cooperative society in the world that exists for the benefit of its non-members. And that's the same for the individual members of the church. We do not exist for self, but for others. But now, this kind of thinking doesn't come easy. The ways of the world are strong. The world says, think of self first, make lots of money, be as successful in life as you can, using the world's definition of success, which is a good job where you make lots of money, you can buy your security, you can buy the things that you want. And that's what we get hit with every day on television, on computers, on iPhones, and iPads, and whatever's out there. The world is seductive, and it wants to draw you in. You can only be successful against it if you actively pursue and build a strong relationship with the one that you are professing to call Lord and Savior. Now, up to now, Mom and Dad have had a big say in whether or not you should come to church. And they probably will for a few more years. But the time will come when you will have to make the decision on your own. It will be up to you to decide whether you will be in the world or of the world. A number of people have invested time and energy and love and support to get you here to this point. And I'm not talking about just your sponsors and your parents and grandparents and aunts and uncles and friends. I'm talking about all of those who have taught you in school and in Sunday school in past years. And there will be many who will come after this to fill that same role as you grow. And it's my prayer that the three of you will avail yourselves of these people, that you will listen to them, that you will seek them out. And it's my prayer that you will also find churches like this one, because I'm assuming you're not always going to be in this church. All to the point that you can honor the profession that you make today. My prayer is also that each of you will not only grow in faith, but because of your faith, you will touch the lives of numerous people. People that you know and people you don't know who are observing from a distance. You have the power. You have the power to be the hands, the feet, the hearts of God to work through and bless the lives of others. Garrett, George, and Chris, may God bless you as you continue your journey. Amen.